grabbing hold of Jesus' person while you grab a hold of God's word. When that living word and that written word join forces, God's power is ready to be released. The stuff you've been dealing with for years that has not been resolved. And God's just waiting for you to go low. Hello, this is Dr. Tony Evans with The Alternative, and I have the privilege today to be here with my lovely wife, Lois Evans.
Hi, glad to be with you today, Tony, to wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day. You enjoy it all, enjoy all the festivities, and be blessed. Happy Mother's Day.
And we are excited this Mother's Day to give you a special message. We want to make sure that you're touched by God's Word. So let's get right to God's Word, and let's find out what it looks like when God makes you whole. Being as though this is a special day, I wanted to call our attention to one of the most well-known stories in the Gospels in the life of Jesus, and that is the woman with the issue of blood. Luke chapter 8 identifies the problem this way in verse 43, and the woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone. She's bleeding, and she's been having this problem with bleeding for 12 years. Now, if you are bleeding, your life is ebbing away, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. We talk about people bleeding out, because if you lose enough blood, you will die, because what the body needs to live is in the blood. So there is a physical problem. When you're losing enough blood, then that means that you're going to be weak. So she is weak. She is hurting. You don't have the oxygen through the blood feeding the parts of the body. Other parts of the body are not functioning properly. So she is physically decaying. When Mark tells us the story, Mark tells us in Mark chapter 5 that she had spent all of her money on the doctors. So not only had this illness diminished her physically, it had diminished her financially. All of us knows what it is to have doctor bills we can't pay because of the physical problem they can't fix. So you have a physical problem, and then you have a financial problem. But not only was it physical, not only was it financial, it was also spiritual. Because Leviticus chapter 15, verses 25 and following says that when a woman bled, she was unclean. When a woman bled, she was unclean, and so she could not be touched, which meant that the spiritual problem related to a social problem, because if you touched her and she was unclean, you became unclean. So let's just put it this way. I love the King James. This woman had issues, all related to the blood. She had issues. Mark tells us that not only did she have issues, but it says it got worse. Mark says she spent all of her money on the doctors, and after spending all this money, things were no better. In fact, her condition was getting worse. I wonder if there's anybody here today who's had issues for 12 years. Where life is ebbing away, maybe socially, financially, physically, or spiritually, nothing is helping. You've spent your money to try to get help, medical help, psychological help, physical help, or you've exhausted your human resources. Or as Luke chapter 8 says in verse 43, and could not be healed by anyone. In other words, there was no human resource available to fix it. All of the professionals, all of the contacts, all of the pros, all of the people who were charging, all of the dollars who were designed to rectify the problem were unable to fix it. It was an unfixable scenario from the human point of view. I want to say to you who are gathered here today, particularly our ladies, but certainly to everyone, since this story applies to everyone, if you've got an issue, you've been hemorrhaging, you're aching, you're hurting, you're discouraged, despondent, disappointed, and nobody helps you. They can't help you, and you're the worse off for the help. What good is going to a doctor if you're worse off? So she went to the doctors, and things kept getting worse. She had tried everything today. Well, she hears that Jesus is in town. In fact, the preceding three verses says that Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house because he was an official in the synagogue and he needed help for healing in his own home with his daughter. So we got a man with a daughter. Jesus is on his way to heal him. On his way, this woman with the issue intervenes. Verse 43 says, she came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. Okay, now we've got a problem for 12 years. Before we get into the details of this, I want you to notice something. Jesus fixed a 12-year-old problem immediately. If this lady could have gotten a hold of Jesus 12 years earlier, she wouldn't have had 12 years worth of issues that had gone unresolved. This thing had accumulated. People had not been able to solve it. And it says immediately the blood flow stopped. She was healed. Now, that's all Luke tells us. Luke just says, she touched his cloak. She was healed. But when you look at Matthew, it says, Matthew chapter 9, it says, she touched the hem of his garment. Luke says, she said to herself, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. So this lady starts talking to herself. And she says that I've had an issue folk can't help me with. Professionals can't heal. But if I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. See, the synoptics, each gospel writer is giving you something from his perspective, and that's why when you read the different stories, you'll find a phrase or a word in one story you won't find in another story until you look at all three of them together to get the whole story and to get the rest of the story. So this woman comes to a conclusion. People have not been able to help me. My money is funny. It's all gone. I've still got these flowing issues in my life that are only getting worse. But there's something about Jesus. If I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Now the question is, why the hem of his garment? She didn't say, if I touch him, if I get close to him. She said, if I touch the hem, H-E-M, hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Well, to understand that, you have to go back to Numbers chapter 15, verse 38 through verse 40. Because Numbers verse 15 says, when you put on your robe, on the four corners of your robe, there should be a tassel. A tassel, like graduates wear when they wear their graduation tassels. A tassel of blue. And when the men put on the robes with the tassel of blue, it says, the tassel, which were the hems of the garment, these hanging things at the four corners of the garment, these tassels are to remind you of God's word. These hanging tassels are to remind you of God's word and God's commandments and God's expectations and God's demands. It was God's word. That's the tassels. Every time those tassels are swinging as you walk, it was to remind you of God's word. That's what Numbers 15 says. So when she says, if I can touch the hem of his garment, it would be translated to say, if I could grab one of them tassels. That's what she was saying. If I could grab one of those tassels. Now, what was the connection? She believed that if I grabbed, the word touch means to grab, if I grab one of the hems of those garments, I can get God's word to work for me. Okay? So this wasn't just grabbing the hem of a garment. Now watch this now. The tassel is hanging at the bottom of the cloak. Okay? The tassel is at the bottom. So in order to grab a tassel, you got to get low. Okay? Tassel not up here on the shoulders. Tassel is at the hem of his garment. You gotta humble yourself, grabbing hold of God's word. The brother said earlier when he was working out whatever he had to work out with his wife, he had to humble himself. See, if you're still proud and you're not willing to get low to the tassel, then you can go for another 12 years and spend the rest of your money and still find no solution to your problem. But she said, I'm willing to go low and grab the tassel, that is, grab God's word about this situation. Interesting, you will find in Numbers 15, when it talks about the tassels, it says, I want you to wear these tassels, which reflect God's word, and not think about your own view of the matter. In other words, it would be like saying, lean not to your own understanding. In Proverbs 3. In other words, don't look at your situation. Don't look at your perspective. Don't look at what you can see and not see. Don't look at what you can understand and not understand. Don't look at what you can figure out and not figure out. I want you to hold on for dear life to the tassel, to the hem of the garment. She says, I believe if I can get a hold of that word, in concert with the person of Jesus Christ. Because she wasn't grabbing anybody's tassel. She was grabbing the Son of God connected to the Word of God. The Son of God connected to the Word of God. She says, I will be made well. So she expresses this statement of faith in Jesus' power based on the word to change her situation. She hadn't been able to fix herself for 12 years. If you've got some hemorrhaging going on, and it's been hemorrhaging for a long, long time, for 12 long years, I just want to ask you, I'm not making a judgment, but I want to know, have you grabbed the tassels yet? When she ran out of human options, she grabbed for dear life the living word with the written word. What I'm trying to say is, when the living word, Jesus, gets connected with the written word, you've got the operative power of the word. See, if you have the written word and no living word, you got truth with no life. If you got the living word to the exclusion of the written word, you got life with no truth. But when you have the living word and you grab hold of the written word, the tassels, you have life and truth. I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. It says immediately. She was made well. The hemorrhaging stopped.
We'll return for more of today's message right after this special announcement from Dr. Evans.
I'm so excited about my wife's book, Seasons of a Woman's Life. It is a great tool for ladies no matter what stage of life you're in. It covers the various seasons that women go through and how God's power and grace can walk them from season to season victoriously. It's a great tool for group meetings, for getting together with your girlfriends, sitting over some coffee and talking about where you are, where they are, and praying for one another. It's Seasons of a Woman's Life, and I believe no matter what season you're in, God has a word for you.
Now return to today's message.
Now, let's go a little further. Verse 45. And Jesus says, "Who is the one who has touched me?" And while they were all denying it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you." But he said, "Someone did touch me, for I was aware that power had gone out of me." What was the fundamental difference between the lady who got touched and the thousands that were bumping up against him, or as he says, pressing against him? Well, there's one fundamental difference. She was on her knees going low. They were standing up. See, she was touching the hem of his garment. Okay. See, they were standing up. They were part of the crowd. But she says, no, I got to get low. I don't just want to be part of the fan club. So I want to know, did you come here to meet Jesus today? Or did you come here because you're part of the fan club? You're just part of the Jesus club. And it's Mother's Day and it's church time. And why don't we go hang out with some Jesus today? You didn't come to grab his tassel, the hem of his garment, to humble yourself beneath his divine authority based on his divine word, then you'll get no power. He says, "I felt power has gone out of me." Jesus says, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" Peter says, "The crowd is pressing against you." Jesus says, "No, I was aware of someone who touched me. They wanted me. And power left me." Now you may say, "Well, boy, that would be nice if I was living back there with Jesus' time and that could happen to me." Well, let me explain something. The scripture says Jesus ever lives to make intercession for the saints. He's still letting power leave him. See, he's still doing that right now. He's doing it from heaven through the Holy Spirit, but he is doing it right now. See, you can get a touch from Jesus right now if you're willing to get low enough. Grab a hold of his word that's tied to his person. Power can still leave him. But you say, "I don't feel power leaving him for me." Maybe that's because you're still too high part of the crowd. Verse 47 says, "When the woman saw she had not escaped notice." But wait a minute. If Jesus didn't know she touched him, the disciples didn't know she touched him, because they said, "Look at all these people pressing against you." Nobody else pointed out she touched him. So who noticed that she touched him? What I'm suggesting is, Jesus was not saying "who touched me" because he was uninformed. He was calling her out. He was calling her out from her secret blessing. Wait a minute. She had already been blessed, because the story says she had been healed immediately. The blood flow stopped. In fact, Mark says she felt it in her body in Mark 5 that the blood stopped. So she knew she was healed. But then Jesus says, we ain't finished. It ain't over just because you've been blessed. Who touched me? When she saw, she had not escaped notice. That is, he knew who touched her. He was calling her out of the closet. He was inviting her to testify about the healing. He was inviting her to go public about what Jesus Christ had done for her. When she saw and fell down before him and declared in the presence of all. We're not talking about a secret agent saint. We're talking about somebody who's going public. She declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. So she testified, God has done something for me. It's amazing how many folks want to be blessed who have nothing to say having been blessed. Sister forth to testify to the crowd and to tell him the rest of the story. While we don't know what the rest of the story was, we know Jesus' response to the rest of the story. Because Jesus' response in all three of the Gospels is this, verse 48, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. She entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ that went beyond the physical blessing. She became his daughter. She became part of the family of God. See, a lot of folk want God's blessing without his relationship. See, her hemorrhaging had stopped, but watch this, but she had not yet been made well. Because not until she becomes a daughter does he say you're going to be well. So whatever the rest of the story was, it kept her from being well. The word well means to be whole. See, God can bless you with a new house and you still not have a home. God can bless you with physical healing, but you still may be in mental anguish. The relationship did not get established until she told him the rest of the story. According to Mark 5, she told him the whole story. See, the story that she told him when she grabbed the hem of his garment was simply a story about, I need healing. My body's not working. So God healed her. That wasn't the whole story. Girlfriend had some other issues in her life that had gone unaddressed. And she wanted a relationship with God. And when her testimony was clear, let me quote it to you in Romans chapter 10. If you will confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It says, for with the heart man believeth and he gets righteous when he believes. But with the mouth confession, he says, it is made unto salvation. In other words, when she went public and confessed her faith in Jesus Christ, that was a whole nother level of salvation. Because now she not only had a body that worked, she had peace. She had a life that worked. See, Jesus wants to do more than just give you stuff. Now, he doesn't mind giving you stuff. He doesn't mind your body working better. He doesn't mind you being healed. I mean, he wants you to be better, but he wants you to be daughter or son. He wants you to enter into intimate relationship with him, not just get your blessing and go home. He wants you to enter into intimacy with him. Power left him. Look. It was so unusual for power to leave Jesus that he had to call attention to this one. Let me tell you what wasn't unusual. Him getting the crowd. You read the Gospels, he's always got a crowd going on. Everybody want a little something, something of Jesus. But you hardly ever see him talking about power left me. Because everybody wants to be part of Jesus' fan club and get things working better in their lives who don't necessarily want to be son or daughter. Wholeness of being. She not only felt better, she was better. Her testimony was a rebuke to the crowd. But we got a whole bunch of people sitting here who haven't been touched, but you've been in church. I want to invite you to two things today. Grabbing hold of Jesus' person while you grab a hold of God's word. When that living word and that written word join forces, God's power is ready to be released. The stuff you've been dealing with for years that has not been resolved. And God's just waiting for you to go low. And to yield yourself, myself, ourselves, to humble ourselves before him and watch him do his thing. The greatest thing we can give a mother or a father or a child is a view of God and Jesus and the Bible that works. Not just religion that you hear about. That's crowd control. We're not interested in crowd control. We're interested in people experiencing the power. Because that's when God becomes real. But he'll never become real if you can't go low. Based on his word, give him the whole story and let him set you free. Well, we hope you were inspired, encouraged, and challenged by today's message. And to keep you, ladies especially, being blessed and growing, my wife has a product, and I'm going to let her say a word about it.
Well, I wrote a book, Seasons of a Woman's Life, and there's also a journal. Just to encourage you to take advantage of what God is doing in your life right now. It is a season. Ecclesiastes talks about seasons, and it says, really, this too will pass. But while you're in a season, see what God has for you. Learn and grow from it as God plummets you to a new season in life. It is really Seasons of a Woman's Life. God bless you. Enjoy the book and the journal.
You can get the book and the journal by contacting us here at the Urban Alternative, 1-800-800-3222, or by logging on to TonyEvans.org. These resources and many others to bless you are available on our website. God bless you. We're looking forward to being with you again next week.